Praise the Lord, dear brothers and sisters. It's good to resume these Tuesday night times, which I consider most precious to me, because while I really cannot tell, I don't know how much you have picked up or benefited from these talks. I consider these talks. I can tell you I myself benefited too much. Now, tonight and with the next 45 minutes or so until 8 o'clock, because we have taken a little break this month of July, I'd like to kind of, you know, we're coming back to this burden of prayer again. So I'd like to refresh us all on the importance of prayer. My fear, brothers and sisters, is that prayer to us, if we do not have a genuine breakthrough in the matter, in this matter of prayer, according to all that we have learned and all that is in the Word, I would say the depth of the Word, and also what has been opened up to us so abundantly by the ministry of the two senior co-workers, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, then this matter of prayer can still be just a mere practice, Christian practice, which is right and which is necessary, but it will just be a kind of a good, you know, Christian practice. It will just be a movement that we stir up one another to pray more, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are even seasons of prayer. But if it just remain as a movement that will come up and then it will recede or die or regress, that really would fall short of what the Lord wants, his recovery. Maybe not every saint, but surely a number of saints to enter into a new realm, a higher realm and a deeper realm of prayer that we have henceforth not entered into. And I mean both personally and corporately or collectively. And of course, prayer should not just even be an event, although it could be an event, you know. So, but it should not just be an event. So the Word, when it talks about prayer in the New Testament, is still continuing steadfastly or unceasingly the prayer. And I hope by these continual talks on Tuesday night, we can strengthen this matter more and more until many of us get through, and even the churches will get through. And I hope that even in Northern California, there will be a kind of getting through. Now, I just want to let you know that beseeching.org, this prayer website that we have put together over a month ago, explicitly for North America and even more specifically for the United States, the saints here. I have much to do with that, and in fact, in the items of prayer, the burdens of prayer, the lines of prayer. And you will notice, if you have been following these prayer burdens daily, if you sign up, it will be pushed to you every night. And we have not been praying very specifically for some items, you know, like for the USA or for those in power or for the society, I would say be patient. We will get there. We will get there soon enough. What we've been doing in these weeks in the prayer burdens actually is to help the saints to be more schooled. I still use that word, to be more further schooled or taught or instructed in this matter of prayer. So 2 weeks ago, the week was all together on the exercise of the spirit related to prayer. And that you cannot get more basic than that in the matter of prayer. I feel in my observation that today, many prayers are lacking the spirit or lacking the exercise of the spirit. A more intense exercise of the spirit. And if there would be one practice, Christian practice, normal practice, that would require the exercise of the spirit, I would say, hands down, it would be prayer. It would be prayer. How can you pray without exercising the spirit? Well, the only way is you pray something from a kind of formula, right? Or on these some kind of prayer book that you just read and say amen to it. Or just a kind of prayer from your memory or from your mind. And none of those kind of prayer is up to standard. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that touches God. The kind of prayer that allows us to pray ourselves into God or into a oneness with God. The kind of prayer that is a kind of breathing out of himself and particularly his will and his heart's desire. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that really is the expression of the mind of the Spirit, according to Romans 8. You cannot pray those kind of prayer from your mind, from your intellect, from your memory. Prayer is not something that you and I recite. You know, we just recite, you know, at funeral, I pray this kind of prayer, or I read the book to pray that kind of prayer. At wedding, I pray wedding prayer. Or you see what I'm saying? Today, that's what the pastor do. They just open the book and read the prayer fitting a certain occasion. You think God hears those prayer? I rather doubt it. I am talking about prayer that is with the anointing spirit. This is the essence. This is the most basic thing in prayer. And so today, brothers and sisters, we have an enlivened human spirit, don't we? And we have even a spirit that has been mingled with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Today, our human spirit is mingled with the divine spirit. And these two spirit has become joined as one spirit, one mingled spirit. And everything that has to do with God and man, the relationship between God and man, and surely prayer is the highest expression of God and man being mingled and expressing something together or executing something together. Not one party all by itself, but a hybrid party, two parties joined together as one. And so nothing expresses that oneness more than prayer, more than prayer. And so in order to do this, to have that reality, that experience, we have to take the lead to exercise our spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, talks about the matter of prophesying. And it has this very important verse there that says that what? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Okay? You would think, the natural mind, the religious mind would think that the prophet is subject to the spirit. You know, the spirit takes the lead. You know, the spirit, you know, we the prophets follow the spirit to do something or to say something. But no, here it says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. The spirit, it's not that man follows God. It is God that follows man. It is the spirit of the prophet that follows the spirit. What does that mean? That means the prophet is in control. The prophet has to initiate this activity. The prophet has to take the lead to pray. How so? By exercising his spirit. And when he exercises the mingled spirit, not only he's exercising just a human faculty of the spirit, but he is actually igniting, all right, or even motivating the divine spirit at the same time. So, brothers and sisters, when you pray, of course, we need to calm down. We need to clear our mind of so many things. You know, that's why people pray with their eyes closed. That should not be a formality. The closing of the eyes is not a form. The Lord says he actually pray looking to the heavens to the Father. The Lord never did not open his close his eyes because he didn't need to. We need to sometimes because there's too much distraction. The tree over there, the sun over there, the birds, the kids. I tell you, all the things are here distracting us from the prayer. So we need to close our eyes. So we need to go into our closet and pray. And the real closet is really our spirit, our inner man. So I'm belaboring this point, and this seems so basic, but I am not really so certain that many of the brothers, all the brothers and sisters, are so conscious of this matter to the point that this becomes a habit to exercise the spirit. Every time they pray, they will automatically use the spirit. There's no possibility for even them to pray without the spirit. They don't even know how to pray that way. You see? It has to become habit, brothers and sisters. Normal, automatic habit. So when we come to pray, we need not to wait for the Lord to something to fall down or something. We need to exercise our spirit first to pray. Take the lead, take the initiative by calling on his name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, this is to stir up our spirit. In the Old Testament, it says, is it Isaiah? There's no one that will stir up their spirit. No one that will stir up their spirit. In other words, it's a passive people. It is a dormant people. It is a dead group of people. So when it comes to prayer, saints, remember initiative. The initiative must be on our side. Now, what follows is another matter. What follows is the Spirit himself. When we exercise the Spirit to pray by calling, you may even pray by a song, by the word, by these helps. We just exercise our spirit to pray, caring of not our environment, caring who is not there, caring not for all the distractions. We are just right there, concentrated, focused on the Lord before his throne, and we just pray. This should be a what? Deliberate exercise on our part, an initiative that we take. And this kind of exercise will push away the busyness of the mind. When you want to pray, the mind suddenly gets busy. All kinds of thoughts will start to come. All kinds of things that you normally don't think about will appear in your mind. Even all kinds of weird imaginations would suddenly show up. And sometimes even some kind of wicked thoughts just at that juncture would come into your head. Before that, you were okay. But just as you pray, some evil kind of thoughts will come. Some bad thoughts will come. All these are the enemy and the evil spirit trying to stop you from praying. If he can only stop God's children from praying, he won the battle. Because it is in prayer that the enemy, Satan, is defeated. So, brothers and sisters, I hope there will be a fresh realization of this and a new kind of exercise initiative in the local churches called the exercise of the Spirit. When you pray, especially on your own, it's easy to kind of get into your mind and remain in your mind. So it is a good practice, even when you're praying personally, to pray in an audible way. At least you can hear yourself. At least you can hear yourself. And I see sometimes saints sitting there praying as if they don't look like they're praying. They're either slumbering, falling asleep, or just with the mind racing to and fro. Really, really, even for us who have been around, same thing. Every time we pray, it's a new exercise again. It's a new initiative again. There's a fight going on. There's a battle going on. The battle is on what? You push down the spirit or you release the spirit. That's the fight. And God is waiting for us to initiate. Now, when we exercise the spirit in this way, brothers and sisters, I hope in your prayer meeting, even tonight, you would pray. You would not wait until the last minute, until the end of the meeting. You would just pray. Of course, we need to talk about praying in coordination when we're together. That's another matter. But I'm talking about exercising the spirit. Even if my companion is praying and I'm not uttering, I'm just saying amen. I tell you, even that requires the same kind of exercise of the spirit. I'm trying to put together an outline or two just on the word amen. What does that mean? We say a lot of amen in the churches. We don't even know what it means. It's some local church thing. Amen, amen, amen. What does that mean? I tell you, amen is the name of the Lord. The faithful witness, the one who is the I am. So when we say amen, we're calling on the name of the Lord. When we say amen, we say, so be it. Right? Agreeing with someone else's prayer. But my point is, every part of our being should be energized, should be exercised. Brother Lee used to tell us, correct us, when you come to pray, don't even sit in a normal way. Yeah, he charged us. And even today I still practice it. He said, don't sit like this. Of course, don't sit like this, right? Don't sit like this. He said, when you come to the prayer meeting, sit like this. In fact, halfway in your chair, like what? Like you're ready to play ball. Like you're ready to get into action, even physically. Even physically. So your body, your mind, your spirit are all what? Readied, ready to pray. Now, you may think this is too basic, but no, I have seen too many things have not been trained, have not been schooled to have this kind of attitude. Oh, brothers and sisters, nothing is more important than prayer in our relationship with the Lord. Now, quickly, when we start to pray in this way, taking the lead. And I would also like to say, learn not to pray programmatic prayer. Some brothers, when they open their mouth, it's the same prayer. I know what they're going to pray. It's the same verbiage. It's good, it's not bad, but it is the same thing. Meaning it is not coming from a fresh place. It is coming from a file or a memory that they just recite. That they just recite. Okay, then now I'm coming to the next point, and that is once you pray, the spirit within you start to move. Once you take the initiative, the spirit will follow you. Not the other way. Not the other way. The spirit will follow. How does the spirit follow? The spirit will follow by what? By moving in you. Moving in you. Okay? Like the blood stream circulating in you, moving in you. That moving of the spirit is what we call the anointing. The anointing. Now here's a big point. And that is, brothers and sisters, we need more saints who know how to pray with the anointing and from the anointing. Nothing formulaic. Nothing that is just the same old. There is always a present burden utterance. And one of the best places to learn this prayer is to read the prayer before the messages. You know, we have many books and messages, and quite often Brother Lee would pray, especially in the latter years, quite substantial prayer before he give the message. Don't jump over that. When you observe Brother Lee pray, you learn a lot. You learn a lot that he is always praying from the anointing. And it is the Spirit who will give him utterance, words, expression. Much like when he's standing at the pulpit, or rather the platform, the Spirit give you the instant utterance to minister something. I can say this because I minister a lot, that this is a very, very real thing. You know, when I stand there and I speak and there's no words, the words are not coming, the utterances are not coming. I know I'm short of the anointing. I know something is wrong with me, not the Spirit, with me. I may memorize all the points. I may have the outline even in front of me, but I have no living and fresh words. I have no burden, basically, because I am lacking. I'm short of the presence of the Spirit, or the present Spirit, who has his own mind, who has his own mind when it comes to intercession. This is Romans 8. So after we take the lead to exercise the Spirit to pray, Lord Jesus, we gather here together tonight. We open to you, Lord. Do be with us tonight. Anoint us. Cleanse us with your blood. I don't care. But that should not be from the mind. That should be with something from the depth of your being. You have to practice and learn that. But soon enough, when you begin to pray this way, I tell you, there will be a flow. There will be a flow of the Spirit that will follow. That will follow. We say a kind of gusher, or whatever you want to call it, a kind of flow out of his belly or innermost part shall flow rivers of living water. That water is the Spirit. And prayer is one way to flow that, not just the ministry of the word, but the prayer is the place where this Spirit will flow. This Spirit will come forth. And the more you have to learn to be attuned to that anointing. You have to practice again and again to know, to sense that anointing, to find that anointing. And even more than that, you have to learn how to find the mind of that anointing, the thoughts of that anointing, and even eventually the utterance, the words of that anointing, and you pray this way. We're told that Brother Watchman Nee, I never heard him. I don't know whether there's even a recording of his speaking. I don't know. But we're told that it could be in his biography from one of the four persons who testify for Brother Nee, who said that when he prayed, Brother Nee prayed very slowly. Very slowly. And that's not just his style, so-called, but it's like words. One word will come out after another, slowly. Why? Because he was the whole time sensing the Spirit to use the utterance of the Spirit to pray. To pray. And brothers and sisters, prayer is an art. It's an art. Just like human relationship, it's an art. Some people just have managed that art, if you will, have learned that art, how to be with others. How to be with others, and they have successful relationship. Some people never learn and never care to learn how to relate to others, and so they cannot build good relationships. And we're talking about our relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you, the Lord is like a person. The Lord is like a person. How do we relate to the Lord? What do we say to the Lord? How do we even find his mind and utter his mind and feeling back to him, like Abram did? That's an art. We have to pick this up. And so, saints, use the prayer time to learn. My, if you have this kind of a mindset, you would love to pray, because every session of prayer is another opportunity to learn some more how to pray. Individually, by yourself, and then two or three, no more, three or four. In that number, there is a particular kind of a flow that you learn. And of course, in the bigger prayer meeting, you have to learn even more how to pray. And so, when we pray together, we go on to even a further lesson. And that is not just you sensing the Spirit and praying, uttering what is of the Spirit. You know, myself, when I go out to the yard or I'm by myself on my chair when I pray, most of the time, it's not the prayer. Most of the time is finding the prayer. Did you hear what I say? Finding the prayer. That means the prayer that the Lord wants to pray in and through me at that time. When you find the prayer, sometimes it does not take that much prayer, because it's on the mark, because it is spot on. But to find the prayer, my goodness, you have to collect your whole being. You have to calm your mind down. You have to exercise the Spirit, and you have to sense the anointing to find the prayer at that time. Sometimes I pray the wrong prayer in hindsight. You say it's possible to pray the wrong prayer. Oh, all the time, brothers, all the time. But it's okay. We may pray the wrong prayer, not quite on the mark, but we persist. We continue with the Lord. We linger. We linger with the Lord. We don't just go away. We linger with the Lord until, I tell you, the anointing is there. The words are there. And when that happens, you know it. because there would be such a flow. You just feel burdens being discharged. You will sense something just coming off your shoulders. Really? Don't think all these are psychological tricks. No, brothers. If you have the experience, you know what I'm talking about. And you say, when will I reach this place? Well, practice. You will get there. And now I come to the third point, and that is when we pray together. When we pray together, we need to find that prayer or that burden together. Now it's not just you. It's the three of us or the four of us. And so together we have to find that common burden. And that takes even a further exercise, a greater exercise. So, brothers, when you pray together, you have to have another kind of exercise to sense the spirits moving amongst us, three or four, amongst us, two or three. And a lot of times, you have to pay attention to the other person praying. Because when you are just stuck in yourself, you are praying your prayer, you are praying your prayer, eventually there are three prayers going on. Wrong. We need to come into one single prayer. And to find that, my experience is oftentimes I pay attention to the other brother praying. Okay? Not only I'm saying amen, amen, like this, but I am paying attention. And all of a sudden, in a sentence that he gave out, I touched something. That's it. There's something there. There's something that, you know, that word deep calls unto deep. There is an echo. There is a resonance in my exercise spirit to that, to his spirit and to that utterance. So amongst many things that this brother might have prayed, I picked that up. I picked that up from another member in the body. And I what? And I take that and I run with it and I build upon it and pray. And if we all do this, I tell you, eventually our prayer will be woven into one piece. And when you finish praying, you just have that sense of satisfaction, of a discharge of burden. A lot of times, after you finish praying, you feel the burden undischarged. You came heavy, you left heavy. The burden has not been released. We have those kind of prayer meetings and prayer times. So brothers, we need to learn this. And Brother Lee always say this kind of prayer is learning to play ball, you know, basketball. It's not five people dribbling five balls. That's not a game. That's a practice. It is five people playing one ball, passing. Someone will make the shot, but we can all assist to make that shot. So we don't care whether I make the shot. We just care somebody on my team make that shot, that we win the game. But to do this, my goodness, I may not even touch the ball so much. I'm just passing the ball. But that is so essential in a successful game. So brothers, learn to not hog the ball, H-O-G. And in fact, the more the people that are praying together, the shorter the prayer, the better. This allows the ball to be passed. Sometimes, you know, a brother would pray 5 minutes. By that time, nobody has the ball. Everyone is sitting down. You're the only one on the court doing whatever fancy thing moves you're making. But there's no game there. There's no game there. All right. So we also need to what? Pass the ball. Shorter prayer, but connected, coordinated. All right. Now, last week, the whole week it was on spiritual warfare. And I'm not going to just dwell on that. But brothers and sisters, one of the main thing about prayer, especially intercessory prayer, and prayers of petition is also a prayer of warfare, because all these exercises happen in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, you have God there. You have the Lord there. You have the Spirit there. You also have a bunch of evil spirits there. And you also have Satan there. And there is a perpetual war going on. And once you step into the realm of prayer, you are stepping into war zone. Into war zone. Now, there are prayers that are a prayer of fellowship between us and the Lord. That's not a war zone, okay? That is a time we enjoy the Lord, we have sought the Lord, we have conversations with the Lord. There are all kinds of prayer like that. I'm here talking about particularly prayers of intercession. This kind of prayer is warfare. Warfare. And so we need to know how to fight in this kind of prayer. Now, tonight, because of time, I will not get into that matter. I will just quickly come to a burden. It's more than just an example, a burden. Talk about warfare. And especially this week, not last week, but this week, we have come to the point, today is day 36, I think. We have now 2 days, Monday and today, Tuesday, on the matter of praying from a certain position in the universe as the church. And that position is the ascended, an exalted position of the Lord. His position, the position of Christ, what he has attained to, and because of what he has obtained, the lordship, the headship in this universe given to this man. That's what he has attained and obtained. And where is he? He has ascended. He has been exalted to the heavens. And more than that, he has been enthroned at God's right hand. All these are tremendous facts, brothers and sisters. And our prayer of warfare, our prayer in oneness with this Christ is what? Is based on what? Based on, yes, our oneness with him. So today we have been made alive. Today we have been resurrected. Today we have been seated. We are seated with him in the heavenlies, as the church and as the members of his body. That's where we are. And we pray from that position. We pray from that position. We don't pray up. We pray down. Just as the Lord one day will go down and battle and fight the Antichrist at Armageddon, he is going down with his bridal warrior. Today we pray downwards, downwards. We pray from the heavens to the earth. In one sense, we're here interceding on the earth, praying to the heavens. But on the other hand, we are praying from the heavens to the earth, from a position of authority. All authority has been given to the Lord in heaven and on earth. Don't we believe this, brothers and sisters? Today we have to pray from that position of authority. And hence we don't pray begging prayers. We pray commanding prayers. We pray prayers of authority. To bind and to loose. And to speak things into being. And to make declaration of the victory of Christ. We need to learn all this, but I don't have the time to talk about this, maybe next time. But tonight I want to leave you with one particular burden these days. And I'm jumping ahead now a bit. Brothers, do you notice what is going on in our country, in this country right now? It is chaos. It is lawlessness. It is rebellion. Brothers, I here want to read to you something I share with some brothers from the book, The Satanic Chaos in the Old Creation and the Divine Economy for the New Creation, 1992, Irving, Texas. Brother Lee. He said this, according to Genesis 8, 20 to 22, Noah built an altar and offered burnt offerings, typifying Christ, to God, to please him, so that the earth could be kept in its systems. Well, he was talking about nature, you know, all the seasons and all that, so that life can replenish itself, all the living things can live, and all the living things can grow, and so on and so forth. And then he said this, today we also should build an altar and pray. Building the altar is what? Is to pray. Is to pray. We live in the life of an altar and the tent. That means we live a life of prayer, offering Christ to God. We should come to the cross and offer Christ. Listen to this. As we offer Christ to God, we should pray, O God, forgive our country. Certainly, Brother Lee, talk about the country, USA. The immorality and chaos are offenses to you, the righteous God. We ask you to remember the cross on which your Son, our Lord Jesus, died. To come to the cross and offer Christ to God is the divine economy. If we do this, listen, we may help to save the country in which we live. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. This morning I was with my prayer group at 9:30, three other brothers. I said, brothers, usually we read over the beseeching ministry portion and then we pray. So I said, brothers, today let's just pray for the USA, for this country right now. I just cannot pray for anything else but this country. Brothers, I want to tell you, right now, U.S. needs prayer. It needs prayer from all of God's children. I would even tell all the Christians today, not in the recovery, my brothers and sisters, to do the same thing. And I believe a good number of God's children are praying. We cannot say too much. We cannot do too much under the circumstances. But you know what, brothers and sisters, the church can pray. In fact, that is the church's job, the church's duty at this time, to pray specifically for this country, that the Lord would save this country and preserve this country. I do not say this as some kind of patriotic, in some patriotic fervor. I do not say this because I believe in America, America exceptionalism, or whatever that is. I'm not doing this because I'm U.S. centric. You know what I mean? Centric. I'm not. I'm praying for this because God needs this country today for his purpose. Despite all the messiness, despite of all the evil, despite of all the craziness that is there, this country with its institutions and systems and history and the Constitution, all that is what made this country what it is, under divine providence, God's sovereignty. And there, I believe in brotherly, there would be no other country raised up after the U.S. Unlikely. This country is special in that way. I came to this country. I was not born here. I'm a naturalized citizen. But I'm burdened. I'm burdened from the viewpoint of God's economy, from the angle of God's testimony and his move, his purpose. Today, my brothers and sisters, we are truly in a time of severe warfare in the spiritual realm. It's not just human beings, the Democrats fighting the Republicans or the left and the right. It's not just that. Let me tell you, there is warfare and conflict behind the scene. We're not here for any political party. We're not here for standing with any ideology, so to speak. We're standing with God and his word, and we're for his purpose and his economy that still needs to be worked out in this world. And the U.S. still must be preserved and still must be stable and still must be strong to be used by the Lord, to have an environment on the earth that the God's economy can still go forward, the gospel can be preached, the church life can go on, and his testimony can spread so that his body can be built up. So I just want to say this much, even to put within you a burden. Please don't pray political prayers, you know, against this party or against that. Just touch the throne and pray from the throne for this country. I like Brother Lee. Oh God, forgive this country. I'll tell you, the other day I told my family, I said, all this pandemic, all these things is judgment. God's judgment in the Old Testament is the sword, that means war. War. It is famine, and it is pestilence. That's exactly matched the last three horses of the four horses. Exactly. Still today, he judges with these things. And brothers, yet at the same time, God still have a purpose to carry out. I hope that all the situations is turning more of God's children to himself. I hope all of this is causing more of God's people to pray on behalf of this country and even on behalf of God's desire. And we know a lot more than many of the believers. And so we need to pray that kind of higher prayer. I really, really hope so. Brothers, if the Northern California saints and churches, by the Lord's mercy, can really, really enter into this realm of prayer, that would be a great, great thing. A most strategic thing that we need to do today is this kind of a prayer.